Nehemiah chapter 4. We're going to be seated for just a couple minutes. I want to spend just a moment, just a couple thoughts from this morning. We looked at Nehemiah. We saw that God enabled Nehemiah to build the wall in 52 days. Of course, he had a lot of help, but he was a leader because Nehemiah had real passion and affection for it. And God has so created us to have a passion. And then we also pointed out that Nehemiah had a providential passion, but then Nehemiah went down. He went to Jerusalem, and he looked again at the walls, and he looked at all of the burned walls, and he rekindled. He rekindled the passion that God had given him. And by the way, just anything in our life, we need passion, need to be rekindled, whether it's an assistant pastor, it's a principal, whatever it is, it needs to be rekindled, refired up, needs to be worked on. Now, please get this. This truth tonight, there's nothing new under the sun, okay? Some people try to get a little tricky and, you know, and they show you something that's like, well, it's just a little different, but nothing new under the sun. But if you get this truth, it could revolutionize your marriage, your family, your walk with God. If you're a businessman, it could revolutionize your businessman. If you're single, whatever you're doing, it'll revolutionize a single man. If you're a staff member, if you're a ministry leader, it can totally revolutionize what God has called you to do. And it's a simple truth, but it's an important truth. And sometimes it's an overlooked truth. It's just something, it's like it's something we all know about, but we miss it. Let's all stand together and look at Nehemiah chapter 4. You say, Pastor, what is the truth tonight? Why was it that God enabled Nehemiah and God's people to build that wall in 52 days? Why? One word. Of course, we'll get in. There'll be prayer, and there's some other we mentioned, of course, this morning, passion. But one word, work. Didn't that excite you? Work. By the way, every once in a while, I just look at Dr. Hawking, and really, he's a. I don't know him well. I did get on the internet. I know you a little bit better, Dr. Hawking, but he's a legend. But let me say this: they started over 100 churches in Africa. You know what it took? It took God and work. 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 And hope we can get this tonight. I'm preaching to myself. Nehemiah chapter 4. Work. I know it sounds like a four-letter word. Okay? It is a four-letter word. Work. Work. Work, work, work. This is going to be fun tonight. By the way, most of us don't have to work in the morning. Okay? We won't be an hour and 3 minutes because I hope to take my family out. Maybe we'll all go to In-N-Out. Want to meet you over there, Ryan? You buying? Okay, thanks. Good. Nehemiah chapter 4, look at verse number 1. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, of course, whenever you're building for God, you're going to have enemies. And Nehemiah and God's people had a lot of enemies. Heard that we build the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. By the way, they've been mocking the Jews for hundreds of years, thousands. And he spake before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burnt? And by the way, they sure did. They said, man, they're not going to do anything. Look at all this rubbish here. Now, Tobiah, verse 3, and Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go, they're irritating them, or trying to. If a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. They're saying, even if they build, they don't know what they're doing. Here, O our God, this is a prayer, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let this... I won't spend too much. Man, don't forgive these guys. Just give them a hard time. And let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee. That's right. When you're doing something for God, they're doing it, provoking God, thee to anger before the builders. So we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together onto the half. They were halfway done. Thereof, for the people had a mind to what, class? Work. They had a mind to work. Look over to verse 19. Look at verse 19, please. Chapter 4, verse 19. And I said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large. And we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. In what place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us. Okay? These guys were working, even though they knew that they might have to fight. They might have to pick up their shovels and pick up their different work tools. Verse 21, so we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Okay, they work until they didn't have any more light. And some of them had to hold spears just to protect them. So, you know, they didn't say, oh, well, we can't do this. They kept at it. Verse 22, likewise, at the same time said I unto the people, let everyone with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be guard to us and labor on the day. And look at verse 23. So neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that everyone would put them off for washing. So they'd work. The only time they changed their clothes, I guess they had one guy hold a big towel and says, okay, you take your clothes off, I'm watching for you. And they washed their clothes, and they put it on. That was the only time, man. That was it. Let's pray together. Father, help us. You've given us everything in the Bible. You love us, and you've taught us how to live. And we live in a mixed up society. And Lord, help us to just look at the inspired Word of God. Train us, encourage us, exhort us, rebuke us if we need to. Instruct us and teach us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Look, if you would, to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, and we're going to look at a few verses, so have your Bibles real handy. Genesis chapter 3, and we'll look at verse number 17. Of course, Adam and Eve have fallen. And look at verse 17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, no amens, guys, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Look at this. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. I heard a good truth. When I was in Bible college, we had Old Testament survey. And the teacher explained here, and I just in passing here, said that work, it says, cursed is the ground for thy sake. And then he goes, in sorrow shalt thou eat of it in all the days of thy life. But work gives you the endurance to endure temptation. In other words, lazy people have a hard time enduring temptation. And I know we're supposed to trust God, but we also have a free will. And so those people that know how to work, and they know how to work long hours, and they know how to endure hard work, they also are building a resistance to sin. And so moms and dads, one reason you want to teach your boys, your girls too, to work is because the same endurance that they have when they say, oh, I don't like this, there's going to be temptation come by, and it'll be a lot easier for them to resist the temptation if they have a work ethic. Lazy people have much more of a tendency to give in to temptation. And by the way, there's some people that are hard workers that are just, they're pretty pagan too. So, but just a thought. Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. Okay? In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. Now look at verse 19. In the sweat of thy face. Now look up here, please, guys, one of these days, you little guys, you're going to sweat. Don't go like this, oh no, no, God said in the sweat of thy face. In other words, when you're working, you're working so hard you start to sweat, just remember this verse, this is how it's supposed to be. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. Till thou return unto the ground from out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shall thou return. Let's look at another verse. Well, look at Ecclesiastes chapter 9. By the way, Exodus 20 says, 6 days shall thou work. You notice that? What does that mean? 6 days. You know, now we're not in France. Okay, where they have an entitlement. I have some articles in my computer. But 40 days. By the way, France is not the worst. Europe is pretty bad with this. There's some other European countries that are even worse than that. Imagine 40 days. Man, that's a lot. But Exodus chapter 20, verse 9 says, 6 days shall thou work. Now, I know we always think, well, wait a minute. You're supposed to have 2 days off. That's not what God said. Supposed to have 1 day off. Okay? Right? All right. Anyway, in and out sounding pretty good right now. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. This is a verse we all know. And we'll read a few verses here, and then we'll go on. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse number 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Okay, so let's say you're working at McDonald's. Do it with all your might. Okay, you're working in your house. Okay, how many have little children like between 6 and 10? Raise your hand. Okay, do you ever ask them to clean the room? Don't they do a real thorough job? Okay, teach them. Work. Look at 2 Thessalonians. This is another verse. Portion of scripture most of us are familiar with, but these, you know, when you think of works, oh, that's not in the Bible, that's, you know, we got to do it. No, it's in the Bible, and God has it there, and he talks about it. And by the way, if you want to do a really good study on work, what you want to do is get your concordance. It's real simple. Most of it's in Proverbs. Look at the word sloth and slothfulness. Get your concordance and sloth. How many have ever seen a sloth? You ever see the animal sloth? You know, they're very slothful, okay? But you want to do a little study on that. Maybe you can do that with your children sometime if they don't clean their room very well. Say, okay, we're all going to have a Bible study. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 6. Obviously, there is some correction being made in the church here. By the way, one reason I really love to read the Bible, love to read the epistles, you know, pastoral epistles also. You say, why? What happens in our church and what happens in my house and what happens in your house? It's been going on for thousands of years. And there were people then, and there's people now that just is just this is the way it is. But first or 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly. Okay, well, what are they doing? And not after the tradition which he received of us. Who? The brother you're supposed to withdraw from. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Another verse 8. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught. And by the way, Paul had a great testimony about he could have had the churches pay his wages, if you would, but instead he had a great testimony just so that there would no, especially in this time, there'd be no finger pointing. Neither do we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor. With what class? Labor and travail, night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. And so he's given his own personal testimony here. Okay? He said, we work night and day, and we didn't charge anybody for our preaching. We didn't eat anyone's bread. And he could have. Verse 9, not because we have not power. He's saying not because we can't, and really they could. Bible says, "Not muzzle not the ox and that treadeth the corn." Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. Verse 10, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. You say, what does that mean? That means it's pretty simple. Okay. You say, what do you do with... And by the way, I help homeless people, but what I do is I'll buy them food, okay? But really what we should do is say, come on down to the job site, work for a little bit, and I'll buy you breakfast, and we'll buy you lunch. It says if you don't work, you shouldn't eat, okay? You say, Pastor, you give your children allowance. We don't give our children allowance. You say, well, what do they work for? They work so they can eat. Sorry. We want to teach them. You say, well, how are they going to get money? Work. Okay. Now, verse 10 again. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should they eat. He eat. Verse 11. For we hear... Just, we're not sure about it, but we hear that there are some, not everybody, which walk among you disorderly. Okay, maybe this is who he was talking about, the people that were walking disorderly, not after their traditions, okay? Disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. By the way, that's who have a tendency to be busybodies and get into other people's business and say who they are. They have nothing else to do, okay? By the way, working keeps you out of a lot of trouble. Okay, an idle mind, it's not in the Bible as far as a verse, but we've heard an idle mind is a devil's workshop, and really it is. Working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them, verse 12, that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Work, by the way, other than the grace of God and learning and obeying the word of God, good old-fashioned work is what builds anything. Say, man, how do you have a good marriage? Work at it. You work at it. You pray. You read. You study. You sit down and you talk and you work it out. And don't just say, forget it. She's not going to get it. Okay? Work. If she's not going to get it, you need to figure out how she's going to get it. You say, how am I going to do that? I don't know. Work at it and pray and go find somebody. And if you got to get on a bus to go meet somebody that's a marriage expert 50 miles away, work at it. How do you have a good marriage? You work at it. How do you build good children? You work at it. I remember when he was a little boy. When he was a little boy, he didn't smile much. Okay? And I never forget, we had my wife's friend at our house, and he kept getting mischievous. I can't remember what he did. And this friend was from out of state, and he was doing something, and I just take him and walk him. La dee dee dee. She saw. La da. See you, Mary and Pat. We'll be right back. Okay. Hi. He'd go around, mess around a little bit. He did it again. We'll be right back. Let me do the sound effects. Come back. He's crying. I did it about 5 times. And she said, wow, you're consistent. And I don't know if I was. I was worn out. You say, what did that take? Work! It's a lot easier to let them be mischievous. By the way, it's a lot easier now. It won't be later. Takes work. Oh, are you afraid you might hurt his little psyche? No. I'm afraid he might get psychotic if I don't bust his little bottom. By the way, maybe that's why he's a very godly, young 25-year-old man. You say, we worked at it, and Mom worked at it. We have a policy at our house. Our boys, little Ben and Nathaniel, they can't just go. When I was a kid, it was basically this. Come home when the sun goes down. We're like 6 years old. We can just leave. We'd ride our bikes like 10, I mean, little kids. And we can come home and everything was okay. Not now. Who knows who's out there? And so my boys have a tendency, they're not rebellion. It's just, you know, they got their little things and they want to go out. And we'll let them go out, but we want to peek on them and see what's going on. And yesterday they went outside. And by the way, I don't like to spank my boys. I definitely don't like to spank my girls. Sarah got one spanking last night too. No, she didn't. She's 22. I quit spanking them at 21. But the boys went out. Like, guys, come on in. I said, guys, what's the rule? I said, you guys know the rule, right? Yep. I said, go upstairs. Get the little, you say, what are you spanking with? The Bible says a rod. So I use a rod. Some people use belts. People use bats. I use a rod. A rod stings. It won't break a bone. And it's really good on that muscle back here. And we brought him upstairs. I said, okay, bend over. And why are you laughing out there? He'd like to see it. Whoosh! Okay, give him a little spanking. You say, Pastor, what does that take? Work! You know what I wanted? You know what I want to do? Guys, you didn't ask, did you? No, can we, Dad? All right, go ahead. You know what I'm doing? I'm teaching them to get away with things. It's work to send them up there. It's work to say, all right, where's the rod? And they're all like, we don't know. Work. It's work to build a marriage. It's work to build a ministry. It's work. By the way, we have hard-working staff. They work long hours. You say, Pastor, do they get overtime pay? They don't get overtime pay. We don't give overtime pay. They're all on salary. Sometimes I'll tell my staff, we're having a work day on Saturday. You say, do they get paid for it? No. They don't get paid regular pay. They don't get paid time and a half. They don't get double pay. They don't get anything. But you know they do with a smile because they have a work ethic. By the way, they love to be in the ministry, and they don't want to get fired either. They're hard workers. They really are. Our staff, they're very hard workers. They work. There's times I'll say, hey, guys, we're going to stay here till 7 o'clock on Tuesday night. No. And by the way, no one comes up and says, you know, hey, since I work 2 hours extra, can I get 2 hours off early? They don't even ask that because they know I'll tell them no. But no, they don't even ask it. So good work. We have a wonderful church. You say, why? Because we have great working staff. They love God. They walk with God. They study their Bibles. They're soul winners. They do everything, but they're just good, old-fashioned. You know what they do here on Sundays? They're working here on Sundays. They come here early. They set up their classes. They prepare a lesson, and then they come back, and then it's work. Many, 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 easily, many days, 10, 11 hours, and there's no overtime. By the way, let me say this. One, I'll tell you this. College students, and this isn't just for college students, but let me say this. Probably what helped me, other than God and His providence and His Word and just working in my life, that helped me the most was when I was in Bible college, they taught us to work. I worked a full-time job 40 hours a week. Every Saturday, my schedule was at 6:30 in the morning, we had prayer meeting. At 7:30, we had bus workers meeting. We got in a car. We drove to Chicago, which was 40 miles away. We stayed, and we were visiting the inner cities of Chicago until about 8 o'clock, sometimes 9 o'clock. We had a prayer meeting out there set all day long. Prayer meeting about 8 or 9 o'clock. We get back about 10 o'clock. We got up sometimes. We got up at 4:30 in the morning. We got on a bus at 5:30. We'd get in a bus to go, or no, I'm sorry. We get in a car to go pick up our bus about 5:30. We went and picked up the people from the inner city. I'm getting tired thinking about this. We got to church at about 11. We had church, and we taught Sunday school, and we preached in a junior church, or we taught some class. We got them back on the bus. We drove them back to Chicago. It was about 4 o'clock. We went and grabbed ourselves a health sandwich, like a quarter pounder with cheese and double Big Mac or something. And then we went and picked up the people for night church. We got to church just before 7. Church got out at 9. We put them back on the bus. We dropped them off. And then it was almost midnight, and on the way back, that's where we learned to preach. We all preach to each other. And we get up there, and we'd preach, and it's funny. The guys would be, we'd be preaching, and everybody'd be like this. It's like preaching to dead man bones. We go drop the bus off at the bus lot. We had another 45-minute drive, and a lot of times we didn't get home until 2 o'clock on Monday morning. You say, was that once a month? Every weekend of our lives. You say, what to do? And then, by the way, 8 o'clock class, Mrs. Colston would say, Brother Esposito, you look a little tired. I bet I did. You might want to stand up. Music in a soul-winning church. Mrs. Colston, 8 o'clock Monday morning. Okay, it was not the most enthusiastic class. And we're tired, and then you say, Pastor, when did you guys get a break? We didn't get a break. The first break was Thanksgiving. And you say, what did that do? It instilled character. We learned how to get up early in the morning, work. And by the way, then I went to school all day. We had lunch, and then I worked from 3 o'clock to 11 o'clock, and we just maintained that schedule. You say, Pastor, what did you do? It taught me. By the way, I love to work. I love to work. By the way, I usually work about 70 hours, sometimes a little bit more, sometimes here at our church. And do you get burned out? No, I love to work. I love what I do. Please don't get me wrong. I don't take sick. I haven't taken sick days in years. I think the last time I took a personal day was when my mother was dying of cancer. We had to take her to Mexico for treatments. I don't take for the last few years. The church gives me 3 weeks vacation. I haven't taken my 3 weeks vacation. You say, does the church pay you for it? No, I just don't take it. You say, I just give it back to the church, and I don't know what they do with it. I don't know. Well, I like vacations, and maybe once the building's over, I'll take a few vacations, and I'll try to catch up. But by the way, my wife's a heart. Hey, guys, let me just commercial. Marry yourself a hardworking gal. A pioneer, not a princess. Well, I got to get my toenails done. My fingernail, nothing wrong with fingernails and toenails being done. But if it's all toenails and fingernails and hair and got to get this, and then I got to get this, and, you know, I got to get my beauty sleep. I got to get 12 hours of sleep, you know. Come on. I found me a girl. I watched her. She was always on the move. She wasn't just hanging out. She wasn't just talking to the girls. She was working. She was in school. She was on the bus route. She was serving children. She was teaching Sunday school class. I'm like, I like her. And guess what she does now? She works. Isn't this an exciting sermon? Work is, there's nothing wrong with work. By the way, I know, I used to say, Pastor, if you work where I work. By the way, I remember, I don't want to work. By the way, work builds a marriage. Work builds a family. Work builds a ministry. So I want to go in ministry. It seems easy. It's not easy. It's not easy. And if you're looking for an easy job, don't go in the ministry. But I get paid to serve God. I love it. I love it. You say, Pastor, why do you work so many hours and why don't you take personal days? I like it. Why don't you take sick days? Man, I like to work when I'm sick. I'd rather do it. You know, the only reason I don't want to spread all my germs, but work builds a business. Work builds a ball team. Okay, my niece is here from Illinois. Her husband Joel took a basketball team. I don't know if it was really a basketball team, and I don't know how they were this. I think this past year, a couple years, they just really good. You say how do you? Oh well, they're just lucky. No, listen, enough with the lucky stuff. You say who are the lucky people? The people that work hard. They're the lucky ones. Okay. And he had a great basketball team, but he somehow raised money. He had basketball camps, and he got in leagues and tournaments. Work gives you a promotion at work. The Bible says the talk of the lips leadeth only to penury. Less talking. I'll tell my children. I'll quote that verse. I say, guys, do you know what happens every time you talk? You stop. Every time you talk, you stop. It's, listen, especially men. Men can't chew gum and walk. We're mono-minded. We're so focused. We can't do a whole lot of things. You know, and I'll say, boys, do you understand? Every time you guys start talking, you stop cleaning. Okay? And on the work, listen, work, you can't talk and work. Okay? Work is what gives you, you say, oh, man, my boss just doesn't like me because you talk too much. You don't come in early and you don't stay late. And you go to the lunchroom and complain and you don't know there's a spy over there snitching on you. Work. By the way, thank you. I think all the men and ladies have worked hard on that job site. Hey, this summer, let's hit it running. Let's work at it. Be an example of working for your children. I mentioned this before. By the way, the Bible, people in the Bible, I mean, these were just, these men worked. Did you see what they were doing? That was just their character. And so we didn't take our clothes off other than, I mean, this was just night and day, night and day. You say, what do? You pass that down to your children. A few years ago, Brother Coomley called me. He said, Pastor, you got to listen to this message. I said, all right, give it to me. It was a message on inheritance. Like, man, I've when I was in college, I had one session on inheritance and what the Bible talks about inheritance, but this was a whole message on inheritance and how inheritance can ruin people, but what inheritance often does more is it ruins the next generation. You say, why? Because as soon as you get that inheritance, you quit working like you used to work. And then your children watch you not toil. By the way, moms and dads, your children need to see you toil. They need to see hard work. Okay? They don't need to see us watching television all the time. Just sitting. By the way, it might be good if they just never saw us watching television. But work. And the inheritance says what happens is then those children, they never, and let me say this. Please don't misunderstand, and I want to be sensitive here. Some of us, we had dads that were in jail. they were divorced, and you never saw dad work. Let me say this: you need some influence by some men in this area of work. Be an example of working to your children. James, glad to see James Rawl. This kid's he's eighth grade. He's an unbelievable worker. Do you know why? Because James goes with his dad to go pour concrete. Now, his dad's a little wimpy and has a little wimpy voice. And he says, James, would you please pass me the shovel? No, he doesn't. James, get the shovel and hurry up. You say, have you ever been on the working with? No, I've watched him out there. Titus, get moving. Okay. James, he's 14. How old are you, James? 13. He works like a 40-year-old. Really? You say why? Because he's been around his dad working. But I'd be afraid if my children were watching me and I didn't work and I just sort of, always looking for a day off. By the way, I enjoy a day off. Okay? But a day off, recreation, recreation. What the day off is supposed to do, it's supposed to re-energize you to get back to work, to get back to what God has for you. But that's Nehemiah. Work. So what's the message? We're done. Tonight, maybe there's a dad, and you're like, man, I don't know what to do with these kids. I'll tell you what you can do with these kids. You start working and figuring out how to be a better dad. You pray, you seek the Lord, and then you say, I got to work at it. I got to get some counsel. I got to get a book. I got to get a tape. I got to get some advice. I got to do something rather than, oh, I don't know what to do. And maybe there's a mom. You say, I don't know what to do with my marriage. I'll tell you what, work at it. Work at it. Get a book. Get some counsel. Get God. Pray and fast. Work at it. Don't just sit around, I don't know what to do. Work at it. We're in this society where it's like everything, push a button and everything. No, buttons, listen, buttons are for computers. Let's bow our heads for just a moment.